All right, I want to greet you all this morning in the precious name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Been a blessing to be here this morning. Appreciated the thoughts the young men shared with us. Appreciate the new song book. Yes, I think they're a real blessing to get them. So we've got enough, I think, for the church. We're supposed to be getting some more soon, so maybe then you can take a few home later. But at this point, let's keep them at church for now. All right. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you this morning, and we thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for your grace, Father, that gives us power over sin, Father. And Lord, we just thank you for all that you do for us. We ask that you fill us with your grace, Father. Lord, we ask that you fill us with your Spirit, God, that you give us wisdom, Father. Lord, we just, again, ask that you'd be with us. Give us ears to hear your word, Father. Lord, to understand really what that means, Father, to us. Again, we just thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, we'll open our Bibles to John chapter 1. Read one sentence that we just finished singing that just really stood out to me. It's, thus shall we best proclaim abroad the honor of our Savior God, when the salvation reigns within us and grace subdues the power of sin. I just that really appreciate that thought and the reality of what that is. You know, we all know religious people who can just bring their bodies into subjection and by their own power and strength live what it appears to be a holy life. Well, we also see the pride and the arrogance and the desire to control other people that comes with that, to try to force them into that. But then we also but the thought is the best way to express the Savior abroad, like the thought says, or to everywhere, is whenever we're living in his grace and in his power. And his grace gives us that ability and power over those things that control us, that truly set us free. And that's the gospel right there. That's what we're proclaiming. We're not proclaiming you have to live a holy life and you've got to do this. Our consciences, sometimes it's easy to train someone's conscience to just control their lives and live within that. But what I want to talk about this morning is, how do you get to that grace where that power of God is living in our lives and it sets us free from those things, that those fears, those angers, those all those things that control us, that we fight against, that we just wish, oh, if I could just quit doing that, I'd be, you know, I'd feel peaceful. A lot of times, you know, whenever we're doing pretty good and we haven't messed up in a while, oh, we just, oh, praise God, we're just doing good, you know. And then, boom, right back in it, and worse than ever. That is a cycle of just us trying to do it ourselves. That's a cycle of us trying to be holy ourselves. Let me tell you, it ain't in you. I don't care who you are. You might be able to subdue it in your body. You might be able to control things, you know, and just get all stiff and just, I'm not going to. And there's people that are religious that can live that way. But that's not the way of salvation. You know, it's a terrible thing. The grace that brings salvation has appeared to all men. And that grace has been just completely diminished by thinking all that grace is just so you can be saved and go to heaven. And it completely takes away the thought of that grace controlling your life. That grace flourishing and causing you to live the life that God wants you to live. And that's where salvation is. Living in the grace of God. What a blessed way. You know, it's I just appreciate the boys' thoughts this morning. You know, just this world we live in. We're living in the first song we sang, or one of the first songs we sang this morning was, you know, talked about if on quiet seas that we can sail into heaven on a quiet sea or a time like this. But you know, the times like this, why they appear quiet, they are very, very dangerous and very treacherous. You know, I just you look at the prosperity that we have, you know, it makes life easier. And I just think about that at the times in my life where things were awful, you know. But I look back at those times and, you know, just whenever I heard about Hunter, how devastating that was. And didn't even want to think about living anymore. I mean, it's just so difficult. But yet, that's whenever I knew what grace meant. Just to keep you going. Just to get up and go again. Whenever my family left me, you know, it just almost would have been an embarrassment even to show my face. But that grace, that power of God, just to get up and to be able to live a life that I knew was pleasing to God, whether anybody else could see that or not. That's that power of grace. And you know, we live in times where whenever things are easy and prosperous and everything's going good, that you just don't get to taste that very often. And I, you know, it's just, we could just try to create all those things as bad, but this is the time we're living in. And so we've got to learn to draw near to God, even in these times. To draw near to Him and realize we need Him just as much whenever the sun's shining as when we're going through a horrible storm. And what a blessing it is that He's still the same. Whether we're going through that storm or whether we're sailing through quiet seas. So I just want to encourage us to, I mean, just let's open here to, I'm just going to begin in verse 1. The Gospel according to John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the very beginning of all things that you and I know, there was already the Word. And that Word, we'll figure out who that is in a minute, was with God. And the Word was God. You know, this kind of messes us up sometimes. You know, you mean there's God is maybe different? Maybe there's the God, there was somebody that was with God, and then there's somebody that is God with God. You know, it's impossible for us to understand all these things. We see where it seems like there's different people there, but yet they're all still one. There's a perfect unity there. He was in the beginning with God. And it, this word that we're talking about, He was in the beginning with God. So there is a little bit of a two different entities, but they're still the same. All things came into being through Him. And apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. All creation was created by Him, by the Word. The Word. And in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. That spark of life that God gave to man. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it. You know, we see that today. You try to share someone about the grace of God, and well, their mind just goes 100 different directions. You're judging me, or, you know, just all, whatever that thought is. And we're trying to share this grace of God. And some people, oh, you're working for salvation because you're trying to get to God some other way than what they've thought. And so you share this grace of God, this power of God that is available to us. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it. Then it says, there came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not that light, but he came to testify about the light. Begin to see what this word is, or who the light is. This is John the Baptist. And he's trying to tell us about the light. He's trying to tell the people of the time about the light, about Jesus who's coming. He wasn't the light, but he came to testify about the light. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. You know, we want to get so technical about salvation. About what do I need to do? Does God exist? What is this? How do we know what's right and what's wrong? How do we know? Right here is trying to explain to us. This light is in the world, trying to shine light into our hearts. And our hearts don't want to understand it. They don't want to accept it. Well, that's not what I believe. But that light is trying to shine in. And it's trying to enlighten every man. And it's only those who will take the time to have ears to hear, eyes to see the Word of God trying to get into our hearts. And it's nothing you can put in a textbook. It's nothing you can... It's not magic. It is as real as you and I sitting here, more real. Realest things in the world. I read a quote this week. The realest things in the world are the things that neither man nor child can see. The realest things in the world are things that neither man nor child can see. This Word of God that created all things is more real than you pinching yourself and feeling the pain. It's more real than mathematics, where you can add all the numbers up and they all come out just right. This is more real than all of those things. And it's trying to talk to us. It's trying to enlighten every man. It's not mystical. It's real. And all the other stuff is what's not real. It's trying to show us what it takes to get back to what's real. There was the true light which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world did not know him. Well, that's something. He came into this world, and this world that he had himself created, and he humbled himself and became like its own creation and lived among men, and guess what? Real. Here was Jesus living right in the flesh, just like man. Everything that they say is real. And they didn't recognize him. Fact, they hated him. And they crucified him. He came into his own, and those were his own didn't receive him. You know, you see the Jewish people in the Bible, and they're always a little odd, out of step with the rest of the world because of their religion. I mean, you look at the world and you look at the Jews, and they were always oddballs because of their religion. And Jesus came right into the middle of that, and the oddballs rejected him, as well as the rest of the world. Because he didn't come just so that our religious could make us a bunch of oddballs. He came into this world to shine a light that none of the world wants. And to make you a person that God wants as special to him. He came into his own, and those were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power or the right to become the children of God. That's where that grace comes in. You see, whenever the word speaks to us, it will ask something different of each and every one of us. The word is sharper than any two-edged sword. More pointed, more sharp. And it'll go right through everybody and get to that one thing that God wants from you. Your will. Surrender to him. And it may be a battle. It may be a fight to surrender that. It may be the hardest thing you'll ever do. Maybe the most, this doesn't make sense, thing that you'll ever do. But when you yield that, you cross over and you begin to see that light. There's something worth following here. And you'll begin to understand that grace and that power that lifts us up above those things. And we begin to live in the grace and power of God. That's when we are the sons of God. He's given us the right, the privilege, the power to become a son of God. But as many as receive him, to them gave he the right to become children of God. Even to those who believe on his name. who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of men, but of God. See, there's where, you know, there's a lot of people that are born, claim to be born again, but it's not born of the blood or born of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. It's that power. And it's nothing like, you know, God told me to do this. I mean, there's people, the hardest people to tell anything to is to try to tell somebody that God's told them something. That's the hardest people to try to talk to in this world. When God has told them something, they're not going to listen to you. And that's not what we're talking about here. Because it's not, God told me this. It's, this is me yielding to that word. And understanding. And walking in that power and in that light. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. He's full of grace and truth, and that's what he's trying to give to us. God is wanting us to walk with him, to be a part of him, to be a partaker of his grace, to be a partaker of his truth. Like I said, I love this book, but I don't worship this book. I love this book not because I can prove through history that God preserved every word of it. I love this book because the things that it says are right and true. And even though my mind might not understand them, I know whenever he's speaking to me. And I know that by yielding to that, it's given me power and courage and strength and grace to be the son, one of the sons of God. And it's not this, I know I'm saved. It's, I know I can walk with God. Even when I can't see him, feel him, see anything about it. It's just a grace. The boys this morning in their lesson talking about walking with God, one of them was talking about, you know, walking with God. And I just thought about the term. They used to use it at Godspeed. They would say, Godspeed. And it was a term like God bless you or go with God or have God's blessing. But I just thought about that term, Godspeed. We talked about it a little last week. What is Godspeed? It's when we're walking at his speed. We're not running ahead of him. No, life becomes so fast and so furious and just things going on and trouble. And these boys are learning how to, that life is not as easy as they thought it was. You know, whenever you have to take care of your own house, you got to, it's not as easy as it was at mom and dad's. Whenever you've got to be the one responsible for it. And so it becomes a burden and overwhelming to us. But you still got to walk at God's speed. Not your speed. Not what you think is God's speed. But walk in God's speed. Wait on the Lord. Be patient. That's the grace that God has given us. That no matter what things are going on in our life, we can still walk with him. I just want to encourage us to you know, a lot of times we want to trust in our emotions and the things that are around us that are not worthy to be trusted in. You know, a lot of times we have people try to share with us and try to help us, and we don't want to listen to it. We get offended. One of the boys mentioned something about taking things personal. You know, we do that. When someone says something to us or something happens, we take it personal. We take ourselves way too seriously. What we forget is that whenever someone says something to us and we take it personal, we forget that everybody else is thinking about themselves. They're not just sitting there thinking about us all the time. People think about themselves. So a lot of times they just say something, not even with you in mind. And we just take it personal. We get offended. We get our feelings hurt. A man told me whenever I first started following the Lord, he said, you're going to need two things to be faithful to the Lord. First one's a skin like an alligator. In other words, don't get offended and don't get your feelings hurt every time somebody don't listen to you. And you're going to need a tender heart. You know, it's easy for a hardened person just to disregard everything everybody says and harden their heart. But you got to be able to have skin like an alligator and a tender heart. You got to be able to hear those things without letting it offend you, without letting it upset you, without letting you think, oh, somebody's just picking on me. That's the problem with the world today. Just another thing the boys said this morning, you know, about one of them mentioned something about their lives and how good they have it. You know, I'm going to tell you right now, you boys, you've got the best life in the world. You go out into the world and you find somebody that's got a better life than you do. There isn't one. All the richest people in the world, well, if we was just rich or something. All the richest people in the world, look at their children. They wind up going to college and getting their minds brainwashed where they hate rich people and their family. Bunch of spoiled, rotten brats. You don't want their lives, do you? It's miserable. They're angry and bitter about everything. You can see them all over. Learning how to work and struggle and have someone watching over you and correcting you once in a while is the best life in this world. But that's not even the life of grace. That's just preparing you for that. That's just giving you the best environment you can have to get a hold of that life of grace and the power of grace in your life. You know, we think of these rich people who've got the whole world handed to them and they just squander it. That is nothing compared to someone that would squander the best life in the world. Nothing. May God give us the grace to be as real as the grace of God that lives in our lives. That's all He asks. You open yourself up to His will, Him, Jesus, His life, and walk in the grace that He gives you. And you're real, and that's all it takes. You know, there's a verse that says, the Word of God endureth forever, in Peter, 1 Peter. Says the Word of God, heaven and earth will pass away, but God's Word will endure forever. That's where I'm talking about that which is real. Heaven and earth will pass away. This earth, one of these days, is going to be consumed with a fervent heat. Everything in it is going to melt away. All the things we thought were real will be gone. And only that which is real will survive. The word of the Lord endures forever. And that word is Christ. And Him living right now. His Spirit dwelling, trying, seeking, reaching out to give you that light. Take hold of it. Everything that we are living, we're writing a book. Our whole lives, that's part of the word of the Lord. Your life is all being preserved, for good or bad. May it be a life preserved that's living in the grace of God. It's the grace of God that brings salvation. May God bless us and help us to be faithful to walk in that grace. May God add His blessing. Anyone have anything you'd like to share? God bless y'all. Depart in peace. God be with you. We'll meet back at 6 o'clock. Is there anything? Meet back at 6 o'clock this evening. Lord bless you.